We're now turning together in God's Word to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I'd like to read with you verse 1 once again. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Amen. I trust that God will bless his word to all of our hearts. We're going to pray together once more before we think upon the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening for the precious word of God. We thank thee for the way that it warns us about sin. It warns us about the future, eternity, God's judgment. It warns us what we must do to escape the wrath of God. We're to flee from sin and flee to Christ. O Lord, I pray that each one in this meeting this evening will make sure that it's well with their soul. Well with their soul before they leave the house of God tonight. So, Father, be with us, we pray. Do our souls good. These mercies we ask in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It says in this verse that we are to be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Be more ready. One question that is frequently asked in all of our homes is this: are you ready? Or are you ready yet? And I'm sure every one of us have asked that question at one time or another. And usually, if the desired answer is not forthcoming, then another question is asked. What's keeping you if you're not ready? I'm one of those people who likes to be on time, if humanly possible. So, in our house, it's usually me that's asking the question, are you ready yet? Of course, the answer I always get, of course, darling, I'm ready, I'm coming just now. And if you note the sarcasm in my voice, you'll know that that's not really the answer that I get. It's the one that I'd like to get when I'm in a hurry, but don't often get it. I always find it very interesting, you know, that people can be on time if they're going somewhere they want to go. If they're excited about it, if they're looking forward to it, they'll be ready and they'll be on time. However, if they're going somewhere and they can't really be bothered, and they're going because they have to go to pass themselves, to put on a bit of a show or a bit of a face, well, they can be late. They'll not be ready then. We're inclined, you know, to give the ladies a bit of stick about not being ready. However, if men were totally honest, we can be late as well, and we can hold the ladies back. There's a verse in Revelation 19 and 7. Just listen to these words. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride hath made herself ready. Here's the bride of Christ. That's his church. Saved people. Those who are redeemed in the blood. And the church has made itself ready for the coming of Christ. And that's just a reference to us. If we're saved, living in a state of readiness and preparedness, we are ready for his coming. We know he's coming. We're looking forward to it. We anticipate it. And we're living in a manner that's pleasing to him. We're ready. I hope you're part of the bride of Christ. And you're ready for his coming. Tonight, our Bible study is going to be all about being ready. I want to emphasize places in the Bible where we are told to be ready to do certain things, and then I want to show you the benefits and blessings that flow if we do these things. Of course, we should be ready to do them all immediately. No hanging about, no wasting time, no procrastinating. Be ready to do these things and do them immediately. You shouldn't be waiting for the convenient season when it suits us. Oh no, we have to be ready to do what God says when he says it. Do it immediately. Don't miss the opportunity. What are these things that we should be ready to do immediately? Well, the first one is this: be ready to listen. Be ready to listen. But listen to what, you might say. Well, it says in Romans 1 and 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now here's the Apostle Paul, and he says he's ready to preach the gospel to those who are at Rome. So he knows what he's going to say. He's going to preach the gospel. This readiness and this willingness was not restricted to those at Rome. Not at all. Sure, he said of those in Corinth, we preach Christ crucified, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So Paul was always ready to preach Christ. To preach Christ. The reason for that? Well, it's simple. It's clearly outlined in 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So, the gospel preacher must be ready to tell the congregation that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save. That's what preaching the gospel is all about. Making sure people hear the message that Christ alone saves souls. And as he preaches, the congregation must be ready to listen, to pay attention, to take heed. Because that's what we read there in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be ready to hear. To hear. I wonder, can you say tonight that I came to the house of God to hear the word of God? Is that why you came? Did you come with a readiness to listen to what God has to say to you from the Bible? Are you ready to listen? I want to encourage you to be ready to listen. We're living in a world where people aren't good listeners. Is that right? They'd rather be talking. Do you ever find when you're talking to someone, they're not listening to you? They want to do all the talking. And sometimes you would like to respond. You would like to say something. You would like to contribute a little. And you try to get in. You can't get in. And you're wondering, how long can they talk without taking a breath? Because I'm waiting for them to take a breath now. I can get in. I'd like to say something here. And just as surely as they take a breath and you try to get in, away they go again. Always talking. It's actually very rude. It's very, very rude to be always talking and not listening. And it's not very clever either, because you don't learn anything by talking all the time. You learn a whole lot more by listening, I can assure you. But some people just have to be talking. They're not good at listening. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I know a few preachers a bit like that. Well, fair enough, maybe it's true. But we have to speak the word, the gospel. And in this context, in the house of God, dear friends, you have to listen to what the Bible says. The Bible. Do you listen to the word of God? Are you ready to listen to what God has to say from the scriptures? You don't know when you'll hear the word of God for the last time. So are you going to listen to it tonight? Are you? You don't know how significant this message is going to be for you. Are you going to listen? You don't know the word of comfort that God might have for you tonight. Are you going to listen? We have to be ready to listen to the word of God. You'll listen tonight or just ignore it again. There are people and they just ignore it, don't they? They talk over it, switch off, but they don't listen. Please don't be like that. Have there been times when you should have been listening and you weren't? You know, in all of our homes, sometimes somebody says something. They tell you what you should do. I suppose parents can say this of the kids quite often. Did I not tell you to do that? Maybe, but I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention. And then there's trouble, isn't there? There's always trouble when people don't listen. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. If you don't listen to God's word, and you choose to ignore it, there'll be trouble. There'll be consequences. You need to listen. Be ready to hear. We should always have that spirit when it comes to the Bible. I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to listen. If that's the case, that's good. That's the first step. Be ready to hear. Ready to listen. Second thing is this. If that's the case, then I want to ask you this. Are you ready to live? If you're ready to listen, well then, are you ready to live in the second place? In other words, are you ready to obey what you're going to hear? Are you ready to obey the good news? To live. You see, you can find real life and you can find eternal life with Christ in heaven if you listen and then live according to that word. Obey it. Do what it says. You can be delivered from sin and delivered from hell. Are you going to live that life tonight? I wonder, are you ready to experience real life? Real life. Are you ready to flee from the sin that completely controls you and flee to the Lamb of God who can save you from that sin? Are you ready to repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you had enough of this old world and enough of the sins of the world that it makes you want to flee to Him? I wonder, are you thinking tonight, is God able to save me? If I'm ready to listen and I'm ready to live, is He ready to save? Is He ready to deliver this soul of mine? Is He ready to set me free? He certainly is. He's ready, willing, and He's able to save you tonight if you'll come to Him. It says in Isaiah 38 and 20, the Lord was ready to save me. Isn't that lovely? He was ready to save me. He's ready to save you if you'll believe His word. It says in Psalm 86 and verse 5, for Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. He's good and He's ready to forgive you all your sin. Doesn't matter what sin you've committed. God's ready to forgive you. He's willing to forgive you. Ready and able. But what about Nehemiah 9:17? It says, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of Thy wonders that Thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Ah, the people were hard of heart. They didn't want to accept God. They didn't want to accept God's ways. They weren't ready to listen. They weren't ready to live. But you know what the rest of the verse says? But Thou art a God ready to pardon. gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. What a truth. Even though the people didn't want the Lord was ready to forgive them. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger. He's not like us, sure he's not. Many people are ungracious, unmerciful, quick to become angry. Not God. He's ready to save. And you know something? He's ready to save right now. Right now in this meeting. God is ready to do this. Are you ready to experience eternal life? You can be saved if you come to Christ. But you have to come to him. You know, if I said to you tonight, there's a celebrity in our house. Would you like to come to meet that celebrity? I don't know, some great person, some famous person, somebody you maybe admire a little. Are you ready to come to meet the celebrity? You'd probably do it. You'd probably do it. I remember quite a few years ago, our son was a wee boy, and there was a very famous celebrity that my wife and I met in a shop in Newton Orange. And there was nobody else in the shop but the shopkeeper, the celebrity, and us two. And I thought this was too great a chance to miss. And our wee lad was sitting in the car outside in his school uniform, just lifted him at 3:30 in school in Newton Orange. So I nipped out and I said to him, "Son, you want to go into the shop quick because George Best wants to meet you." He nearly jumped out through the window of the car. And he ran into that shop. And when he got in, just stopped. Wee hand went out. He wasn't going to miss the chance to meet the celebrity. And it was exciting for him. He was only a child. He loved it. Then all the other kids come out of school and they noticed they ran through the window and must have been 20 or 30 and the shopkeeper had to lock the door to keep all the wee kids out. So there we were, the three of us. We had a great time. He didn't hesitate to come. He flew out of the car. That's only to meet a person. I'm not asking you tonight to come to meet a celebrity. I would never describe our Savior in that fashion. I'm saying to you, would you not like to come to meet the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the most wonderful person who ever set foot upon Mother Earth? He came and lived a holy life, and he died an atoning death on the cross, and he shed his precious blood to save old sinners like us. I'm saying to you tonight, are you ready to come to him? To the Lamb of God. I love that title. We'll call him the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the one I want you to come to tonight. Come to him. Are you ready? Are you ready to really live through Christ? Are you ready to listen? Are you ready to live? The third thing, are you ready to learn? If you'll listen to the gospel that says you need him, and if you'll obey that message and come to him, if you get saved, then there'll be things you'll have to learn. That's the next step. Are you ready to do that? As a matter of fact, you'll never stop learning whenever you get saved. I'm still learning, and the older I get, the more I learn. Not the less, the more. We need to be ready to learn how to live the Christian life. We do. You know, here's what it says in 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Then we read in Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Ready to distribute, ready to every good work. You know, folks, good works don't save. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We know that. Good works do not save. They don't. But the person who is saved by the grace of God is the person who is a new creature in Christ. And that person starts to live differently because they are saved, because they know the Lord. And they're not what they used to be. Really happy Christians are Christians who are living the way God wants them to live. And that means the opposite is true. Unhappy Christians must not be living the way God wants them to live. Are you happy tonight? Are you happy? Have you learned to live the way God wants you to live, Christian? There's a very popular bumper sticker in America. They talk about bumper stickers, these things they put on the back of the car and the bumpers. And this bumper sticker in America says something like this. And if you think of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the tune will come quickly to your head. The wee bumper sticker says, I owe, so off to work I go. And basically they're saying, because I owe so much money and because I have so many debts, I have to go off to work to try and pay it. And for the vast majority of those people, they're not happy. Why? Because they go to work. Because they have to. There's no joy in it. There's no happiness in it. But that's not the way it's meant to be, you know. Paul gave a glimpse of the glory behind the grind when he said in Titus 2, 9 and 10, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. What was he saying? Even in your work, if you're doing it for God, you'll be happy. You're doing it for the right reason. To bring glory to God. You know, in everything we do and in the way we live, we should be seeking to bring glory to God. In everything. Martin Luther understood this whenever he said this, and I quote, "The maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship." And what he was saying was this: Christians should be ready to live their lives and do everything to the best of their ability to bring glory to God, even in your work, in the family, in the street where you live. Are you ready to do those good works to reach people, to show the love of Christ? To show the love of Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready to learn a new way to live? Not the old way. Get rid of the old man. Start to live in newness of life. Can I ask you quickly in the fourth place, are you ready to labor? Are you ready to labor for the Lord? It says in Luke 22:33, "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Those are the words of Peter. You know them very well. Good words, not a thing wrong with them, except for the fact that Peter uttered them in pride and in self-confidence, and Peter soon fell. Sometimes you can say, "I'm ready to labor," and if you say it in pride, then you don't do the work. You fall away. Well, it says in 2 Samuel 15:15, "And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." Whatever the king says, I'll do it. How many of us can say that honestly? How many of us? Whatever the king says to me, I'll do it. Are you ready? Are you ready to labor for him? Real service is labor. I read a quote that says, many people wish to serve God, but in an advisory capacity only. It's probably true, you know. Sadly, it's probably true. They'd rather tell the Lord how things should be done than actually go and do them. But that's not what God's looking for. God's looking for people who are ready to labor, to do a wee work for him. And we can all do it, you know. If you had a bank account like this, I wonder how you'd use it. Someone said to you, right, there's a bank account, and every day there will be money lodged in that bank account for you, £86,400. Every day you must take that money out and you must use it all. You can't carry any over to the next day, and there'll be no overdraft facility. Each and every day you use the £86,400 and you must use it, or else you lose it. Now, some of us who are older would say, that'll never make you happy. I wouldn't even be interested. I know that. But some of the younger ones might say, what? £86,400 every day and you must use it all, or you lose it. I'll use it. Well, they might use that to try and find satisfaction, but they'll not. They'll not. I read yesterday about some lotto winner who's now going to sue the lottery people because she won and it was supposed to make her happy, and she's never been more miserable, and she's now going to sue them. I don't think that will go far in the courts, but she's trying it. Money doesn't satisfy. But here's a wee thing. Getting back to the $86,400 every day, do you know what's lodged to your account and mine every single day? 86,400 seconds. God gives that to every one of us every day. He expects us to use that for him. The thing is this. If we don't use up those 86,400 seconds, we lose them. They're gone. Now, think about your life. I'm thinking about mine here. We have only one life to labor. Are we ready to do it? Maybe you'd say, here in the light of that, I've wasted quite a few. You don't have to waste the rest, though, sure you don't, because God's a merciful God. He can use us all again, can't he? We could start again from tonight and get it right this time and labor for the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready to listen? Are you ready to live? Are you ready to learn? Are you ready to labor? And just finally, I'll quote the verses to you. Are you ready for the last judgment? Here's what it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are you ready? Are you ready to be revealed in the last time? Can you say, I'm kept by faith? My faith is in Christ. I am ready. Praise the Lord. Can you say it? I can. I know, as I look across this congregation, if I said, in the old-fashioned way, let's have a show of hands, who's ready? I know quite a few would go up, and isn't that great? But maybe you couldn't lift yours, because you're not ready. You need to be ready. It says in 1 Peter 4, verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. You know, God is ready to judge. He's coming back soon. I don't know how soon. But I know he's coming back. The Bible tells me that. And he's ready to judge. How will it be with you when God starts to judge? Are you ready? Are you under the blood? Are you saved? Are you prepared? I'm glad tonight I'm ready to meet him. If the call comes, ready to go. There's not an awful lot in this old world to keep any of us. Are you ready, though? Or does the very thought of it scare you? And then I ask you, get ready. Be ready. Sort your soul out tonight. Get saved from sin. And be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer as we bring our service to a conclusion. We're having our communion service after this meeting. I'll go to the door to say farewell to those who are leaving at this time. And we'd ask the Lord's people just to remain behind. We'll be back in shortly to commence our service of thanksgiving and remembrance. But we'll seek the Lord first before we break up from this part of the service. Father in heaven, I thank thee for many in the martyrs who can say, I'm ready. We're ready for the home call. We're ready to meet the Lord, saved through Jesus' blood. That's why we're ready. And Lord, I ask thee to speak to those in this meeting who are not ready. Bring them to the foot of the old rugged cross, that they might obtain remission for their sin. And then, Lord, help us all to learn to walk the way God wants us to walk. To live every day in the light of His second coming, every day in the light of the fact that ungodly people are watching us, they're listening to us. Help us all to set an example of what it is to be ready to meet the Lord. Gracious God, undertake for all who will leave now, go before them, bless them, and keep them safe. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen, Lord.